Welcome to the Women in Revival podcast. It is my prayer that this series of podcasts will be a blessing to you. This is a very special podcast. It's an outreach to some particular set of people which I tagged as ministry wives or wives in ministry, pastors' wives, female pastors, those who are involved in women ministry, you know, things like that. And I'm praying that they will find this series a blessing and an encouragement. So maybe you have people like that in your life, please do send them this series of podcast. On this series, we are looking at equipped to equip, encouragement for wives in ministry. Equipped to equip, encouragement for wives in ministry. I know what it means to be in ministry. I know the challenges, the difficulty. I know the pains. I know the joys. I know the ups and downs of ministry. But it is my prayer that as I share a few thoughts on this series, you will find this an encouragement and be happy to say yes, Lord, even in the work of ministry. On this series, we'll be settling down on just two verses. I don't know, we might need to look at other verses, but what is on my heart is just for us to walk through two verses as a means to encourage us. It is a popular narrative in the Bible. It is the narrative of the rich man and Lazarus. So we will be settling on Luke chapter 16 and just the two verses, just the two verses in that Luke 16. And that is verses 19 and 20. So before we get into this series, do you want to share this podcast with your friends? And if there's any need to contact us, our website is www.oakofrighteousness.co.uk. There you will find our contact us page. Today, let us look at the rich man and Lazarus. So we are quickly going to look at the narrative of the rich man and Lazarus. And before I do that, before we look at the story, I want to quickly look at the meaning of equip. And according to dictionary.com, the word equip means to furnish or to provide with whatever is needed for use or for any undertaking. It is to fit out as a ship or army. So that means when we are looking at equipped to equip, encouragement for wives in ministry, what we are saying is, you are furnished. There is the need for you as a ministry wife to be furnished or to be provided with whatever is needed for you to equip to furnish others. So being furnished in order to furnish others. And that is the job of ministry, isn't it? We are regularly furnishing others. We are regularly nurturing others. And we need to be nurtured also. The nurturers need to be nurtured. So that is going to be the focus of this series. So the word equip means to dress. It means to furnish, to provide whatever is needed for a particular undertaking. I can say it means to be resourced. So we are looking at being resourced to resource others, encouragement for wives in ministry. So let us quickly look at the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to read it from the King James Version. If I need to look at another translation, I will do so. Luke 16, 19 to 26 from the King James. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. So we are just going to settle on these two verses as we talk to each other as wives in ministry. Honestly, when I look back, I wish the things I know today, I knew it when my husband made the proposal to marry me. For me, my husband was already in ministry, was a pastor. So I remember a particular incident when we were out. We went to the beach while we were cutting. And then he wanted to take me to the shop and buy me some clothes. And he was asking, which one do I want? And there was this set of clothes that I just love those materials. And as I went there to pick it, and he said, no, you can't buy that. That you are going to be a pastor's wife. You can't be wearing that. And you know, the magnitude of what it means to marry a man of God, I didn't necessarily have it. So he knew that marrying him as a pastor comes with responsibility, comes with gravity. But I didn't have that understanding. So when I look back sometimes, I'm like, I wish I knew the things I know today. The mistakes I made, I may not have made them. But thank God that God is a God of mercy. So here we are given the story of this man. He is called the rich man. And I tell you, the call to ministry, it is a call to riches. It is a call to explore the riches of God. It is a call to know God deeper and deeper. And then out of our knowledge of him, we are able to dish out, isn't it? So there was this rich man whom the Bible says he was clothed in purple. Purple speaks of royalty. So I can safely say that first, as a believer, we are part of the royal family of God, isn't it? And to be called into the priesthood ministry, we must not take it for granted. The ministry of ministering the word of God, offering sacrifices to the Lord on behalf of the people of God, we must not take it for granted. So this rich man, the Bible says, he was dressed, he was furnished, he was equipped. He was equipped in purple, he was equipped in fine linen. He was living in luxury every day. And I don't know about you, for me, I can identify with this spiritually. I've seen the Lord clothe me with his cloak of righteousness. He has clothed me with his cloak of godliness. You know, I have seen the Lord put the robe of being his royal princess on me. It's such a great privilege. And I found myself feasting daily at his feet. He's feeding me regularly. As I sit at his feet in the morning, he feeds me in his word. In the afternoon, I'm listening to Bible passages. You know, in the evening, I'm sitting down to read. I am being fed sumptuously. And I know so are many wives in ministry. Not to talk of messages that I have the privilege to listen to, some that are just tailor-made for wives in ministry, some that are just tailor-made for women. So I am being fed sumptuously, just like this rich man. And then in verse 20, the Bible says, at the gate of this rich man was a certain beggar. We'll come back to this as we progress in this series. So at the gate of this man that was clothed in purple, in fine linen, this man that was fed sumptuously on a daily basis, was laid a beggar named Lazarus. And to be honest with you, the call to ministry is a call to help beggars, so to say. People that come to our church, they are begging to know God. They are saying, this God that you know that made you a pastor, a pastor's wife, I want to know him. And it is in our knowing him and helping them to know him, are they also transformed from being beggars into people who are equipped and then equipping others. So here is a rich man who was equipped, who was furnished, who was enriched. He was clothed in purple. He was clothed in fine linen. He had the privilege of eating sumptuously on a daily basis. And based on that, a certain beggar was put at his gate. I believe this beggar was not put there by mistake. Whoever brought this beggar there, brought him there knowing that the rich man had what it takes to feed this beggar. And I dare say that as wives in ministry, the people God has brought to us, be it children, be it youth, women, just name it, God has prepared us to be able to handle these lives. If not so, he wouldn't have brought them to our gates. If God is sending a woman in marital crisis to me, I believe God has prepared me. He has equipped me. He has dressed me with knowledge and with wisdom to handle even that woman before God brought her. So when a situation comes, for example, maybe they need to cancel someone, or I'm told of somebody's situation, the natural inclination is to think, ah, how do I handle this? What will I do? But no, knowing about such situation diverts my heart back to the Lord. The one who clothes me, the one who robes me, the one who feeds me sumptuously, and say, Lord, out of the treasury of your wisdom, how do we undo this? So anybody that is brought my way hasn't been brought by mistake. God allowed them on my way because he knows he has enriched my life. He has dressed me in his royalty. He has dressed me in his linen, in his righteousness, in his godliness. He knows I'm not going to exploit the women he's bringing my way. He knows I am feasting at his feet daily. So he can depend on me. He can rely on me. He knows I will not neglect the need of the Lazarus that are being put at my gate daily. So such is the great privilege this rich man had. He was enriched honestly in order to enrich others. Even though it's rather unfortunate that this rich man missed the point, he missed the reason why he was enriched. And as I think of the story of this man, it typified the story of many wives in ministry. I think we often forget the reason why we are brought into ministry. I remember many years ago when we were having challenges in ministry, and myself, I was meant to go and see a pastor's wife who is like an older woman in the faith. I remember when I was taken down, my husband took me there because she asked that I should come. So when things were happening, my senior pastor related things to them, and so they said I should come. And I remember when she was talking to me, she said, remember, we are first children of God before pastor's wife. You know, as I'm saying this, I feel like crying. I remember the rancor I had with her senior pastor. You know, all of those, I'm not going to go into that. They have learned. But now looking back in retrospect, she said, we are first children of God before pastor's wives. And I wish all ministry wives will have this understanding that it is not first ministry, rather it is first our stand in him. It is for the fact that we are his royal priesthood. We are his children. We are named by God. When we know that, you know, it informs how we carry ourselves. It informs how we behave. It informs how we handle our husbands. It informs how we handle other people in ministry. I think a lack of this understanding, just like the rich man who was equipped to equip others, I missed the opportunity. So also, I'm saying that a lack of understanding of what we are first called into has made many of us wives in ministry to make a carry catch up of the work of God in our hands. And I am praying that the Lord will open your heart in this series of podcasts to see that first, it is a call to God, a call to know God, a call to be equipped of him, a call that out of your being equipped in him flows a daily wearing of righteousness, of godliness in your conduct, in your dressing, and in the way you handle others that God brings your way. Welcome back again to the Women in Revival podcast, and particularly to this special series, an outreach to wives in ministry, tagged Equipped to Equip, Encouragement for Wives in Ministry. We started this series yesterday, and we were looking at the rich man and Lazarus. This particular series is taken from the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. And yesterday we saw that we are called into royalty. We are called to be daughters of God first, and then he who called us, he keeps us, he feeds us sumptuously, and all of that. If you have missed yesterday's episode, please do go to our website www.oakofrighteousness.co.uk, and if there's any need to contact us, you will find our contact us info on our website. And if you want to WhatsApp us, give us a call message, it's +447944398415. So on this series today, we are looking at equipped to equip, encouragement for wives in ministry, and we'll be looking at your equipping as a wife in ministry. I believe it is very, very important for us as wives in ministry to be equipped. It is very, very important. I am saying now that I'm being privileged to offer premarital counseling or marriage counseling or marriage in crisis counseling like that. But I'm saying to the Lord, if I have the privilege to counsel a woman that is about to marry a pastor, I am going to counsel her with ministry in mind. What it means, what she's entering into, so that she doesn't make mistakes that she will be regretting in the future. So there is the need for us to be equipped. I know that many wives in ministry, you came into ministry without being equipped. Some of you were believers walking with God. Never in your life would you have thought that you and your husband were pastoring a local church. Many of you, all along in your life, you would never have thought that you would be the one in charge of the women ministry. You've never thought that you will be the one laboring over others the way you are. And sometimes it's possible to see your helplessness and feel dejected, but that is not the attitude to it. So wherever you are on this journey of serving, of laboring with God, of being part of his workforce, there is hope for us to be equipped to be who God intended us to be as wives in ministry. So your equipping as a wife in ministry, we are going to go back to that Luke chapter 16. This time we just settle on verse 19. Luke 16 verse 19, again I'm going to read from the King James Version. Then if I need to look at any other translation, I will do that. So Luke 16 19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. So we are being shown a man is a certain rich man, and we see the equipping that he was given. He was rich. Who gave him the riches? God. So he was equipped, he was well furnished, he was clothed in purple, and he was clothed in fine linen, and he fed sumptuously every day. How does this apply to us as wives in ministry? How can we trust God to equip us for the work of ministry? Looking at this singular verse of this Luke 16, this verse 19, the Bible says this man was rich. So, and like I said yesterday, the God who has called us to ministry is rich enough to sustain the work of God in our hands. He is rich enough. We have a wealthy father. The whole universe is at his fingertips. He owns 10,000 cattle upon the hill and even much more. He owns every man. He is the God of all wisdom, of all knowledge, of all understanding. So he is rich. Rich in intellect, rich in human wisdom, rich in spiritual wisdom, just name anything and everything. So the one who calls you to ministry is rich. So there is the need to tap into his richness. Actually, the Bible spoke of the Lord Jesus, that he became poor so that we can be rich. So there is the need for us as wives in ministry first to settle in the riches of our salvation. Are you saved? Sometimes it may look as if, why are you asking that question? But it's a question we need to ask nowadays, because we have mixed multitudes who are doing ministry nowadays. Are you saved? Did you experience the new birth?
Are you born again? That is first. That is the first equipping that is needed. You need to first be a child of God. So having been born again, then there is the need now to allow God to strip you of the equipping you have prior to your being born again. So there are mindsets, there are ideologies you may have developed that God will now strip you of. And this happens as you sit at his feet on a daily basis. That's why I love the bit that said the man fed sumptuously every day. He lived in luxury every day. And the Amplified says he made merry and splendor every day. He had feast every day. So God has his own feast table where his children are called to come to on a daily basis. So as a wife in ministry, if you take your equipping serious, then you must take your personal time in God's presence very serious on a daily basis as much as possible. Because that is where he keeps you. That is where he clothes you. That is where he changes you. That is where he gives you all the pattern to life and godliness. The rich man was clothed in purple, in fine linen, he ate sumptuously. So as a wife ministry, what are the areas that you can be equipped? First, as I've said, a daily time in the Word of God. Sometimes we can be very busy with the work of ministry that we abandon our own time with the Lord. That is not right. Your walk with God is priority. You must take your personal devotional life serious above all else. Your time in the Word. How do you study the Word? Do you study the Word on the go when you are in the car? That's when you switch on the Bible and it reads to you. That's all for the day. No, you won't be equipped to equip others. So there is the need to have a set time when you sit at his feet and let the Lord equip you. The daily reading of the Word of God is very key to your equipping. And then listening to other ministers is another way for your equipping. Listen to messages, to podcasts that will equip you. Listen to messages that are specifically made for pastors' wives, for women ministry leaders, you know, for female pastors. Listen to such messages. They will edify you. They will equip you. So your time in the Word daily at his feet, then listening to other messages. And also the reading of books. I can't tell you how God has used books to help my life so much. Because you are tapping into the wisdom of God that he has deposited into others. So there is the need to be a ministry wife that reads. Maybe you don't know how to read or you don't read regularly. It might be starting with just reading a little article. You may start from there. Finding a little magazine, start from there. So for you to be an effective ministry wife, there is the need to read books. Good books that will help you to know God more and that will help you to serve him better. And apart from that, find an older Christian. This time, it may not be old in age, but someone who is older in their walk with God. If you can find another ministry wife, that would be great. But if you can't find, you may find an older Christian to walk the road with you. It is part of your equipping. And I'm praying that indeed you will give yourself to be equipped as a wife in ministry. Nowadays, we have many wives in ministry who are very shallow. When I say shallow, I mean very shallow. Worldly, but at zero level when it comes to the Word of God. But if we are going to be an effective ministry wife in this day and age, there is the need to get ourselves rooted. Colossians 2:7, actually verses 6 and 7. There is the need to get ourselves rooted in Christ, rooted in his word, rooted in a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to familiarize yourself with the word of God and reading other good books, reading literatures, you know, listening to other preachers that will build you up, that will help you to be a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Don't take for granted your own personal equipping. And I'm praying that the Lord will help you to see the need to get yourself equipped. Amen. Welcome back again to day 3 of the Women in Revival podcast, Equipped to Equip, Encouragement for Wives in Ministry. If you have listened to the past 2 days, I'm sure the Lord is speaking to your heart. Don't forget to send it to other ministry wives. And yes, if there's any need for you to contact us, our websites have all the necessary information needed. So yesterday, we're looking at your equipping as a wife in ministry. It is very, very important to make sure you are well equipped. To be honest with you, our equipping has to be ongoing. It has to be progressive. We need to progressively know God. Our knowledge of God for today must not be what we depend on for tomorrow. We need to aim at more of Him. God is constant. God is unchanging. But human being is ever changing. So that is why we need to settle ourselves in our knowledge of Him. And the only way God has made Himself known to humanity is in the Word of God, the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible. And we were encouraged yesterday to be women who spend time at Jesus' feet, who spend time in the Word, who spend time in prayer. These are part of our equipping. Familiarize yourself with the Word of God. Make sure you read, you study, you meditate on the Word of God daily. Memorize it. Commit it to memory. And then we spoke of the need for you to listen to other preachers, godly preachers, and the need to read other books, read literatures, read blogs. There are ministries that have been a huge blessing to me as I read their blogs, go through their podcasts, things like that. They've been huge, huge blessings to me. So do that. Create time to have even personal Bible study. Presently, as I'm speaking, I'm going through a topical study presently, The Pursuit of a Christian Woman. And I've just actually started that today. And just a little introduction that I looked at, it's been a blessing to me. What have I used? My Bible. Of course, I want to look at various translations. And then I brought out Strong Concordance and the Vines Dictionary. I just felt, okay, for the Strong Concordance, I can do without that. And there are a few scriptures that have popped in my own heart, which I have put down. So I was just going through them. And it was such a blessing. It dawned on me afresh today that God is eternal. Just as King Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, God is eternal. His reign is from generation to generation. And you know, it dawned on me that how we live this eternal God, whose span expands from eternity past into eternity future, and we pursue that which is temporal. So I am seeing the need to make this eternal God, this constant God, my pursuit. So how did that come? As I sat to do a personal study. Now, I've had my morning devotion today. I've studied, I go through the Bible from book to book. Presently, I'm in the book of Isaiah and the book of Acts. But I also devote myself to have what I call afternoon meditation. So I just sit down. Presently, I'm looking at topical studies. So I'm looking at The Pursuit of a Christian Woman. So when I finish that, I may take a book. Sometimes it may be a Bible study that is already put together. I've got about 3 of such that I want to study this year. So it's step by step. So I am regularly equipping myself. So there is the need for you to get equipped. Get yourself equipped as a ministry wife. So today, we want to briefly look at equipping your husband. If you are well equipped, you will be able to equip your husband. As we look at equip to equip others, the honest truth is that the first place that you must be doing the work of equipping others is in your home. Your matrimony is number one. Your husband, then your children. We'll talk about children tomorrow. But today we are concentrating on your marriage. Sometimes wives in ministry, we turn the order of things upside down. So oftentimes it's ministry, children, then your husband. That is not God's right order. Some of us, God is not even in the picture. There is no communion with God. There is no time in the world, but you are busy for God. That is an aberration. So the right order is that you have a constant communion with God in prayer in the world and a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then you begin to equip your husband, your children, and then the congregation. You may be wondering, why will I equip my husband? So let's go back to Luke chapter 16 and we'll read the verse 20. Or let's read the 19 and 20 together in context. So it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. So we've talked a lot about this rich man. He was clothed, he was rich. God has enriched him with his own riches. So he's a man of royalty, he fed sumptuously. And now, verse 20 tells us that there was a beggar laid at his gate. Why? Because he had what it takes to equip this beggar. And some of these people that are laid at our gate are our husbands, our children, and the congregation. So today we look at our husband. So out of the equipping God has helped you, God has given you, you are not to equip your husband. Genesis 2:18 tells us that it is not good for the man to be alone. And what did God do? He made an help suitable, corresponding to him. So you are God's corresponding help to your husband. So equip him. Maybe you know your husband is preparing sermon for Sunday service. What do? You may help him with tea, coffee, or whatsoever will keep him awake, keep him alert. You may help him with some healthy snacks that might be helpful. It might mean part of equipping your husband might mean, you know, what are you wearing tomorrow? Get his clothes ready, get them ironed, put them there, his shoes, they are well in place. So the man is not worrying about all of those. Why? Because you have taken care of them. So you are equipped to equip your husband. And another way to equip your husband is through your prayers. Don't be a nagging pastor's wife. Pray for him. Pray for his messages. Pray for everything he will do. Even if you are the one that oversees the church, you still have that responsibility to honor, to respect, and to serve your husband. Because it is out of the fullness of your husband that you have received. So the fact that you oversee a work for God is not a reason to abdicate your responsibility in the home to your husband. So equip him in the place of prayer and equip him in sexual intimacy. It is part of the equipping that is needed, isn't it? So you do so. And every other necessary equipping that you will need, make sure it's eating well. Make sure it's exercising well. Make sure it's eating the right food. Because our husbands, if we are not taking care of them, if you leave them to themselves, they don't mind eating junks. It's women that are usually concerned about healthy eating. So you have that responsibility to make sure what your husband is eating is sufficient for his build, for his stature, his build, is sufficient for him healthily. If he's, for example, diabetic, you need to be mindful of what you offer him, isn't it? These are part of the equipping you need to put in place. If your husband have health challenges, it is part of your responsibility to help in those areas. You have been enriched in the presence of God, in the place of prayer, in the word of God, so that you are transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another, and then you will be able to equip your husband. I'm praying that we will not get our priority wrong. When husbands are not well equipped, it is not good. Proverbs 31 is coming to my heart, where it says, the virtuous woman, her husband sits at the gate. Her works then praises her later on in the gate. So this is because the virtuous woman equipped her husband. Her husband had no need of spoil. And that is the same thing as wives in ministry. The responsibility of raising children, look after it. Let him serve God with joy, with freedom. Maybe yours goes on missions regularly and you may be home with the children. Do that joyfully. Give him report when he comes. That is part of equipping your husband. Keep him updated with events in the home. Create time for you and him. That is part of equipping your husband. And it is my prayer that the Lord will help you, a builder of your husband, and not the one that will demolish him as a wife in ministry. Amen. I want to welcome you back again to the Women in Revival podcast and to this particular series, Equipped to Equip, Encouragement for Wives in Ministry. I am hoping you are finding it a blessing. And if there's any need to contact us, our website is www.oakofrighteousness.co.uk. And there you will find our contact us page. And the number to contact us is +447944398415. I hope the Lord is speaking to you through this fellowship of this podcast. Yes. So yesterday we were looking at equipping to equip your husband, the need for you to equip your husband. And we looked at that man, the rich man, who was well equipped, he was well resourced, and then a certain beggar was brought to his door gate, to his gate, but he refused to feed that man. That man was subject to dogs licking his wounds. That man was subject to craving for crumbs when he could have ate from this man's table. And if we are not careful, that could be our story, that despite the equipping God has given us, despite the help God has lent us, we are neglecting the need of our husbands and that of our children that we look at today. If care is not taken, you will find out that our husbands are seeking crumbs, maybe sexually. If you are denying them, they are into puns. They are into filthy acts. While I am not excusing their engagement in that, but we need to be able to talk to each other as wives in ministry. Do your part. God is faithful in doing his. So if you are not equipping your husband, you will leave him to feed on crumbs. You will leave his wounds for dogs to lick. And there are many dogs out there. There are many women out there who are looking for ministers to pull down. There are Jezebels out there. There are many women who are looking for pastors to destroy. You ought not to give in to such. That is why your actively equipping your husband is very, very important. When you hear any negative report concerning your husband, how do you handle it? Do you turn it into a conflict with your husband? When you do that, you won't be able to equip him well. Are you the type of wife who just open your mouth, just anyhow, publicly, anywhere, and just speak rashly to your husband? You won't be able to equip him. Such was I when I was just into marriage. My mouth just go anywhere. And I will never forget a particular day that I started. What was it that particular day? We were on our way to church, if I'm correct. I think we were having our women's program. I can't remember. I think it was a Sunday or so. Anyway, and my husband, usually when we have meetings, or he will volunteer himself to drive the van, pick people up from places to places. So that was his job that particular day. I think he was running late, and I love keeping to time. Then that was it. That was how I went, until one of the sisters, one of the members, said, "I don't like the way you are talking to pastor. We must not get to that point. That is church members that are putting us right." So we need to be wives that are equipping our husbands, speaking well of them, encouraging them. I know that my husband, sometimes when he has finished preaching, no matter the response people have given him, he still asks, "My dear, what do you think about today's message?" You see, as I'm saying this, I'm like, wish I was wise then. I can't even remember what my response was then. You see, why is he asking that? My view matters a lot, because I am his first congregation. But some of us, we would have shattered him. Even when there is something to talk about, there is a way to do it. So I'm praying the Lord will help us to equip our husbands. So today, we want to look at equipping our children. And you know, before I even get into that, if we are not doing our bit of equipping our husbands, do you know the statistics of men that are getting into depression in ministry? Some are committing suicide. Pastors in ministry. How did we get there? I'm praying the Lord will help us and give us sensitivity as wives in ministry. So equipping your children. Again, we are going to go back to that Luke chapter 16, verse 20. I'm going to read verse 19 and 20 together as we look at equipping your children. Don't forget, I told you there is an order: your walk with God, you're being equipped of God, and then equipping your husband, and now your children. You see that I've not even mentioned ministry because it's at the bottom list. So equipping your children. Luke 16, verses 19 and 20, and it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." The NIV says, "covered with sores." The Good News says, "brought to the man's door," who used to be brought to the man's door, covered with sores. The Amplified says, "dropped down and left a certain utterly destitute man named Lazarus, reduced to begging alms." I dare say that this is the description of many of our children. Many ministry homes have children that are wayward. Why is it that pastors' children, they don't turn out well? Why is it that children of people who are laboring in God's vineyard are the ones that are turning wrongly? Is it because God's hands are not able to help them? I don't think so. I believe God is faithful. So that is why we are discussing this. There is the need for us to equip our children as people in ministry. We must not leave their wounds, their sores, to dogs to lick. There are friends that are like dogs to our children. They are the one they are pouring their trouble to, and they are giving them wrong counsels. So in order to equip your children, you need to be there. I don't know how old your children may be. Maybe you are a young wife in ministry. There is the need to invest into your children. Show them the way of salvation. Teach them how to read the word. Introduce them to the Holy Spirit. Introduce the Holy Spirit to them. And then pray for them regularly. Because except God builds, they that labor, labors in vain. That is a form of equipping you can give your children. And when their father travels, or maybe it's you that is anchoring the work, there is the need to listen to your child regularly. Sit down. For me, for example, when my husband travels, I'm probably home by myself with my daughter, and you know, she was quite young then, quite little. But for you, I don't know how old yours may have been now, but there is the need to carry them along. As they are growing, what we did, our children grew in the home. We gave them great opportunity in the home environment. So my daughter, as early as 4, she was leading family devotion. We gave her that. It doesn't matter what she knows or what she didn't know. We've shown her the way, so she will share her thoughts. And that is it. In doing that, you are helping the child to see that she is part of God's family. God can speak to her and she can speak to others. So we, by the time the second one comes, the same principle. So they were both in the world for themselves, and then during family devotion they share. And I remember even at church, we have Women's Weekend. Usually it's 3 days, 3 months, every three months, the women. So the men has their weekends, the youth, and then the women. So when it's time for the youth, sometimes, or even any other Sunday service, my daughter and another boy who was of our age, they will lead us in worship. You see, they are growing in a multi-generational congregation. So they know what it means to relate with older people, people, the youth, everything. So for them, it was a thing of joy to see themselves lead worship, sing. All of those, I believe, formed a platform, even in my daughter's heart. So let them be involved at home. Every little opportunity, when you are teaching Sunday school, if yours are little, let them contribute their bit. You are equipped to equip your children. And apart from that, have counseling sessions with your children. For me, counseling is not only needed when trouble comes. Counseling should actually be offered ahead of trouble. So sit with your children. Tell them anything you want to talk about. Maybe there are issues going on in ministry. Don't think they are not seeing. They are. Sometimes we wonder why pastors' children go wayward. Sometimes these children, they have seen the faithfulness of their parents in ministry. They've seen how they labored tirelessly for the Lord. They've seen their parent formed relationship, and they've seen this relationship break away, destroyed, people splitting away from church, relationship just breaking away like that. And sometimes we don't know that these things are creating a kind of strongholds in our children's heart. So for me, when we were going through challenges in ministry then, I remember I asked my daughter, I think she was around five or so, or four, I can't remember. There were discussion I had with her. I just want to get her perspective. And she talked. Even now, whenever we are going through anything difficult, I want to bring them in and say, what do you think about what we are going through? I want to hear their perspective so that I can give them the right counsel. So this is why you need to be there as a mother to your children. Don't put ministry above your children. Teach them the word, allow them the opportunity to contribute, and then create time to counsel them. Talk to them about life issues. Equip them. Don't let it be that it's dogs that are nursing your children for you. I can go on and on, particularly on this matter of children, because I love children. But it is my prayer that as you have been equipped by the Lord, you will be able to equip your children. If you add your time in the word, share with them. Maybe there is a burden God is giving you. Share with your children. That's what I do. I share burden. I share what I'm learning with my children. Areas that I felt the Lord is saying you are not behaving well, I tell them. They become accountable for me in that area. So when they see me going that direction, they say, Mommy, you told us, God said, you are doing it again. So it helps. And they themselves, they freely become accountable to me too. So when they learn something, they come and say, oh, Mommy, I was studying this the other day. It ministers so much to me. So that is it. I'm praying that the Lord will help you to be able to equip your children both for life and for ministry. Amen. So welcome back to this last day of the feast as we continue the Women in Revival podcast with the series tagged Equipped to Equip, Encouragement for Wives in Ministry. I'm sure you'll find this series a blessing. If there's any reason for you to contact us, do contact us on +44 7944398415 or visit our website oakofrighteousness.co.uk. Yesterday, we were looking at the fact that we are equipped in order to equip our children. So there is a need for you as a wife in ministry to equip your children. And we talked about all of those. We need to be there for our children. We were the one who carried their pregnancy, who nursed them with breast milk. So, and God expects us to build them up, to train them in the way they should go. We are to listen to their concerns. We must not put ministry above our children. To finish this series, we'll be talking today on equipping the congregation. If you notice the order, you need to be equipped first by God. That is your walk with God, and then your relationship with your husband, your children, and now the congregation. So we go again to that Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 to 20. From the Good News, it says, "There was once a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes." Are you seeing? He was dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in great luxury every day. That is what God has called us into. I'm not talking of money. That is not the riches we are talking of. That is actually poverty. If what we are pursuing in ministry is the accumulation of wealth, it's a poverty mentality. I may have no money in my pocket, but whenever any need arises, it is met. Why? I have the God who is all-knowing. He is almighty. He has everything that I ever need. So this man was clothed in the most expensive clothes. He lives daily in great luxury. And that is the place God has called every believer into the riches of his grace. And then, as a result of what she has been equipped with as a ministry wife. Now, let's see what happens to this rich man. Verse 20. "There was also a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door." And you see, why was he brought to the rich man's door? Because they knew that the rich man had what the beggar needed. Your child is your child because God knows you are able to raise that child. God is able to equip you with what your own child needs to be the child God intended that child to be. God's intention is not that your children go about looking for crumbs on the internet, crumbs in friends, because you don't have the time. You can't give them attention. So there is the need for you to equip your children. And now today, there is the need for you now to equip the congregation that God has brought to you. Out of the equipping God has given you, if you have followed the right order, that as you were equipped, you equip your husband, you equip your children, you know, that means you are learning to be a good wife at home, learning to be a good mother to your children. The congregation that you have, they will be husbands, mothers, children. So out of your relationship with your husband, you are able to serve the husbands in your church. You are able to serve the women. You are able to serve the children. And I'm praying that the Lord will help you to see this. So women have so many needs. For me on this, I am focusing this more on women. The women in your congregation, how are you equipping them? Women are in church, but they are, I don't know how to say this. Women are impoverished, not for a lack of activities in church, but I just don't know how to say this. Women are impoverished. If you ask a woman, most women, about their daily devotional life, I can tell you that is an area women struggle with. So how will your women be equipped? And these are the women that you gave responsibility. They are the head ushers, they are the this, they are the that, they are your assistant in women's ministry. So there is the need to take interest in each woman. I love one-to-one. I love doing one-to-one because it gives me more access than group. I do group too, thank God for group, but even in the midst of group, I trust God to see if a one-to-one can comfort. So take interest in every single woman in your church. Don't take women at face value. Don't just listen to their testimony. You need to get to know them. Sometimes women give testimony out of emotion until you get to them that you will see reality. So get to know your women. Get to know where they are in their walk with God. If they are married, get to know how you can be of help in their marital relationship, how you can equip them. If they are singles, know how to help them as single women. My little relationship with singles, what I have learned is that they are not good time managers. Neither are they good money managers. So they need help. They need help in that area. So get to know the women in your church. If you are having seminars, conferences, make meetings such that will benefit your women. It might be useful to do a survey of the women in your church. Don't say, well, we only have 5 women. I am not talking about numbers. Even one woman is valuable in God's sight. So get to know what is the specific need of the women in your church. So when you know their specific needs, you are able to take it to the Lord in prayer. And from there, you are able to get a pattern of program that you can draft to help them. Of course, you don't want your ministry to be a felt need. So that is where showing them what it means to be a believer and then incorporate family life, how to handle money, all of these need to be embedded in Christian meetings, even healthy eating. Women need to be taught through church. So I'm praying that the Lord will give you the wisdom to go about equipping the women in your church. Women are falling prey of the enemy. They are the one calling prayer centers. They are the one sowing seeds. The little money they have to feed themselves and their families, they are pouring it on ministers or men of God, in quotes. But if you are playing your part, helping them to understand what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be born again, and then maybe they are just getting married, prepare them into what it means to be a wife, and then at the onset of marriage, be giving them tips. It is not too much to have a seminar in your home. Invite a few of them home. Create maybe a married women session. Create a single session. Create a session for the young wives, because the needs of young wives differs from the needs of older wives. Some older wives are entering their empty nesting, so the need at that moment may be different. So creating programs that meet their needs. Some older wives, they are entering the season of maybe transitioning into their menopause, isn't it? So putting things in place to help women is very, very crucial. So if you are holding seminars, make sure you are giving them the right seminar. Don't just engage in endless activity that leads nowhere. And as you run your seminars, take stock. Look at what you have done. Look at your women. Is there any fruit? And then look at a few that you can bring closer to yourself. Out of them, you may even begin to create a leadership for the women in your church. You see, I can go on and on and say so much, but I am pleading with you. Let's equip those that the Lord has committed into our hands. Show them books that will build them up. Teach them how to read the Bible. Show them resources that will help them. And as we do so together, we will deliver women from the pangs of dogs that are licking their wounds and bring them onto the table to eat with the King Eternal. Amen.